define Musa for Parshas Vayetze? What are the messages that we can take out of the Parsha Divrei Chizuk at this time, which we need so badly? Yaakov Avinu goes to Charan, and there he's going to establish Beis Yisrael. Up in the heavens, they're waiting to reveal to him divine promises on a very lofty level. Promises about the Hancholas Aretz, the taking over the land of Israel by his descendants, the bracha v'hayok his zaracha kafar haaretz ufaratzta yomav akedma tzafon of anegba. These are great blessings. Chazal tells us in the Gemara in Shabbos that ufaratzta is a reference to what we call nachla b'li mitzarim, something that's infinite, something that's eternal. Hashem is going to reveal to him the promise of v'hine anochi imach ushmarticha b'chol asher telech. These are the brachos that we'll see here in Parshas Vayetze, and it's a brach that every single Jew during all the generations to come will be provided by HaKadosh Baruch Hu with protection, and at the end of the day he will be able to reach perfection shlemus, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will receive a nachas ruach, a ratzon from him. And now Yaakov Avinu passes on his way to Charan, Har HaMoriah. But he doesn't think of davening there. It doesn't dawn on him. And in Shamayim, they don't give him any sort of a remez, a hint. They don't slow him down. As the Gemara tells us in Makkos, Baderech Shel Nimrotza Leilech Molichano. So he's on his way. He comes, he arrives at Charan. He passed all the very famous places in Eretz Yisrael on his way to Charan. He passed Shomron, he passed Beit Shan, he went up to the Golan, he crossed the desert of what we call Syria today, gets to Iraq, and he says, he declares that, as the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin Sadihei, Efshar Avarti al Mokam Shispalu Bo Avosai, I passed the place where my forefathers Avram and Yitzhak had prayed, that's the Har Moriah, Vanilo is Palalti Bo, and I didn't daven there. How is that possible? Kevon Shehirher Bidaito Lachzar. He had a hirur in his mind, a decision in his mind. He was motivated, he was moved by the thought that he has to daven. Kofts Aloha Aretz. A miracle happened, and he quickly came to the Har Moriah. Nekar Har Moriah Ubalakrosa. Rashi here in Chumash says that the mountain itself was, so to speak, removed, was uprooted, and came to him. Vishakalo Achama Velo Nosa. And the sun set earlier than normal. Look at this unbelievable experience of Yaakov Avinu, because Allah Bidaito, hear Bidaito. He had a hearer. He had a thought. And this is a message for all of us. We have to realize that what's waiting for us are great crowns, are great achievements. And many miracles will happen in order to guarantee that we can receive these great miracles, these great crowns. But what are they waiting for up in Shamayim? They're waiting for our hirhur, for our preparedness. The Alta from Nevardik, one of the great Bali Musa of the previous generation, used to say, yes, we have received divine promises. If we'll just open ourselves, our hearts up, a little opening, kechudo shel machat, like the hole, the eye of a needle, is yipaschulanu shi'arim, God will open up gates for us. And how wide are these gates? As the Chazal tell us in Shir Hashirim Rabbah, kishagolos ukronios ovrim bohem. These are wide, wide openings. And these agolos ukronios, says the Alta from Slabot, from Nevardik, are carrying siyata dishmaya, a great shefa that's coming down from heaven. And yet, we look around and we don't see that we're overflooded by this shefa. We're not inundated by the power of siyata dishmaya from heaven. This must be a sign that we haven't opened up our lave, our hearts, even kechudo shel machat. The message here is so profound. We have to look around to the right, to the left, see what opportunities present themselves. We have to energize ourselves to take advantage of those opportunities. We have to use our hir halev in order to think about what situation we find ourselves in and what we are capable of. What is the message? Where is Hashem leading us? The Siyata Dishmai is waiting for us if we'll just take that initial stage, that step of opening up our hearts, Kechudo Shel Machat. This is what we learn from Yaakov Avinu, who is Maharer Bidaito Lachzor. He wanted to go back to Har Moriah. And the same idea we find by Miriam. Miriam had a nevuah in which she was told, it was revealed to her that she, in the future, would have a brother who would be the Moshiach Shel Yisrael. And the astrologers of Paro saw that there would be, in the future, Moshiach Shel Yisrael. And the Gemara in Sota Yudbeis Amud Beis tells us that Miriam had this nevuah. It's Tagnini Paro had the nevuah. They knew that there would be some connection to water. The Gemara tells us in Megillah, Rashi quotes it in Chumash, Kshenolad, when Moshe Rabbeinu was born, Nismale Abayis Ora. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu declares, as it says in the Medrash, Im Einata Goalam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals to Moshe, if you won't be the Goel, if you won't step up and take upon yourself this Shlichus of being the Redeemer of Israel, Ein Acher Goalam. There's no one else. So up in Shamayim, they want to take this tremendous mission and the responsibility thereof and place it over the on the shoulders of Moshe. And the pasuk tells us at the beginning of Shmos in Perek Gimel, Moshe Hayoroes Tzon Yisro. Moshe is shepherding the flock of his father-in-law, Vayavo El Har Elokim Choreva, and he passes through Choreva, the Har Sinai. Vayera Malach Hashem Elav Belabas Eish Mitoch Hasne. And the Malach appears to him, not as a Malach, but as a burning bush in the fire Mitoch Hasne. Vayar Vine Hasne Boer Baesh. Moshe observes that this bush is lit up in fire, Vasne Einen Ukal, and yet the bush is not being consumed by the fire. Vayomer Moshe Asurana ve'eres hamara hagodol hazeh madua lo yivar asneh. And here's the pasuk: Vayar Hashem kisor liros. Hashem sees that Moshe Rabbeinu takes the time to come closer, to investigate, to wonder how could it be this phenomenon of the sneh boer be'esh ve'enenu ukal. Vayikra elov elokim mitoch hasneh. And this is the beginning of the process of Hashem appointing Moshe as the Shliach, as the Moshiach Shel Yisrael. And it's all because Vayar Hashem ki sar liros. What does sar liros mean? How much effort did Moshe put in? The Medrash quotes Machlokas Pshin Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon Lokash, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Chamesh Psios Moshe Posa Biosa Shah. Moshe walked 5 steps, and that was enough. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that he was Sar Liros and Vayikra Elav Elokim. Reb Shimon Lokash says even less, Hafach Pono Vehibit. He just turned around and he looked. That was the Sar Liros. And what would have been Rabosai had he not been Sar Liros? Had he not turned around? Oh, then he would have continued to be the shepherd of Yisro's Tzon, and the Sneh, for its part, would continue to burn, and never the twain shall meet. Am Yisrael would continue to be completely subjugated in the tsar, in the pain of Golos Mitzrayim, choking as it were, coming close to the Chashon, the 50th level of Tumah, and this for all eternity, they would be lost because there's no other Golos Shel Yisrael. And here's the message, if we take the words of Reish Lakish in the Medrash, have we fulfilled. Hafachnu panenu vibatnu. Have we looked around? Have we taken the effort just to turn around and see what mitzvahs we can accomplish? What influence we can have on others? Who's there waiting for us? What chesed we can implement? What great mitzvahs we can do on behalf of our fellow brethren? Hafachnu panenu vibatnu. That's what this medrash calls out to us. And the Gemara in Sota tells us on Daf Yud Beis that Moshe Rabbeinu was thrown into the Nile, and the Malachim came to cry out in front of Hashem. And the language of the Gemara is Misha said Lomar Shira Alayam Ulakabal Torah. He, this great one, who eventually will recite the praise, the song of Hashem at Yamsuf, he will receive the Torah. Yilke Biyom Zeh. Will he go down into the waters of the Nile on this day as a baby? And Chazal tell us, the Gemara in Chulin, Adaf Kuf Lamed Tes, Lo Nitzal Noach Min Amabel El Bischus Moshe Shasid Lotzeis Mimenu, the saving of Noach from the Mabel, which means saving of the whole world, was only because of the merit of Moshe Rabbeinu, who would be born from the Tzetzayim, from the children and the descendants of Noach, and is based on a pasuk, B'shagam Hu Basar, V'hoyu Yomav Me'a V'yesrim Shana. B'shagam is the same gematria as Moshe, and it's at the age that he's 120 years old, which is the age of Moshe Rabbeinu. And now, Moshe Rabbeinu is in a little cradle on the Nile. What a pathetic situation. He's in danger of death. And what happens? Of course, we know Baspara goes down to wash herself in the Yaor, in this Nile. And she sees the Teva, Vishalcha Yada. And the Torah describes how she stretches out her arm. And the Gemara Megillah says, Nishtarbava Shishim Amos. A great miracle occurred, and her arm stretched out for 60 Amos and reached the Teva. And Moshe was saved, and Klal Yisrael was saved, and the Torah was given, and the world was saved. And the zchus of Batya, according to Zohar, is that up in Gan Eden there's a heichal, there's an entire section, a gallery that's called Heichal Basya Basparo. And in that heichal, there are rivavos, alfei, noshim, tzidkanios, hundreds upon thousands, hundreds of thousands of saintly, righteous women who are there in the heichal. Vakruz yotzei shalosh pam b'chol yom. And the heavenly voice goes out three times a day. V'omer arei diokad Moshe Rabbeinu ba, u'basya roa u'modav omeres, ashrei chelki shezachisi legadlo. When the countenance of Moshe appears, Basya sees it, and she declares a great praise. How lucky, how fortunate I am that I was zocha to raise this child. Now imagine had she said, you know, the teva of this little cradle is so far away, I don't have the ability of reaching it. And she wouldn't have stretched her arm out. What would have happened to Moshe Rabbeinu? What would have happened to us? How much she would have lost? And again, this is a message to us. Hoshatnu yad, have we stretched out our arm? Have we succeeded when we are standing at the crossroads of history to stretch out our arm, to reach out to others? Let's look at the parasha of the ladder of Yaakov. Yaakov Avinu has a dream at the beginning of Parashas Vayera, and the Torah describes it in Perek Chavches, V'hinei Sula Mutzav Arza V'rosha Magia Shavoyma V'hinei Malach Elokim Olim V'yordim Bo. And it's very strange. The Malachim are up in Shamayim. We would have anticipated that first it would have said Yardim and then Olim. But on the contrary, the Seder in the Pasuk is Olim V'yardim. First they go up, and then they come down, and the Medrash comments on this. What Yaakov Avinu saw in his vision was Sarei Ha'umos, the offices, so to speak, of each nation, respectively, Shasidim Hoyu Limshol B'Yisrael, that in the future would dominate Klal Yisrael and subjugate them. And he has a vision of Sar Shel Bavel, who is Ole Shivim Shlivos. Bavel, the Sar Shel Bavel, climbs up 70 rungs, V'yorini comes down. The Sar Shal Modai goes up 52 rungs and he comes down. The Sar Shal Yovan goes Me'avi Shmonim rungs, V'yorid. But the Sar Shal Esav Ole V'eno Yorid. He goes up, he climbs higher and higher, and he doesn't come down from the ladder. The Medrash says, "V'osa shonis yore Yaakov v'omar efshar she'en l'ze yirido." Is it possible the Sar Shal Edom goes up, he ascends without coming down? Amalo Hakadosh Baruch Hu v'ata altira avdi Yaakov, is a pasuk in Yirmiyah. And the Lashon of the Medrash is, Afiluhu ole v'yoshev etzli, no matter how high he comes, even if he reaches the throne on high, Mishamani morido, I'll take him down. Shenemar apostle at the beginning of Ovadia, Im tagbia kanesher, v'im bein kochavim sim kinecha, Misham oridcha ne'um Hashem. So the olim, the secret of olim v'yardim, how could it be that Malachim climb up? Is because these malachim represent those nations that will climb on high to subjugate the Jewish people. They'll reach certain apex. And if Chas V'Sholom, Yaakov is overwhelmed by fear that Edom is ole, ole, and he doesn't come down, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises him, Misham Oridcha Num Hashem, I will bring the sorrow shall Edom down. And according to Chazal, at that moment, when Yaakov Avinu was gripped by fear, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Omer Mishum, Rabbi Meir, Bosashon, Nisyari, Yaakov Avinu, Viomar, Shema, Chas V'Sholem, Kishem, Shali, Elu, Yerida, Aflikain. Each one of the Sarim of the respective nations had a Yerida, he comes down from the high point of the ladder. Maybe that's going to happen to me as well. Omer Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'ata Altira. Again, the same pasuk from Yirmiyah being quoted, V'ata altira, im ata ole, ein lecha yirida olamis. If you don't go up, if you go up, then you will never come down. You will achieve that great height, and I will never cause you to go down the ladder. And Chazal say, lo hemin v'lo ola. Yaakov Avinu at that point did not go up. He did not seize the opportunity. Whatever this means, but let's take the Medrash first at face value. What was the response of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Omar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ilu hemanta v'yolisa. Had you had that faith, had you climbed up the ladder, lo yoradita od, you would not go down. V'achshav, but now, shelo hemanta. There was some kichut asayra, there was some deficiency in the faith, and lo alisa, you didn't go up. Is asidim b'nechashu mishtabdim b'hem arba malchius, and therefore your children, your descendants, will be subjugated by the four kingships. We can't understand what the lo hemin v'lo ol of Yaakov Avinu could be. What does it mean? But whatever it means, what we do have is a concept and a grasp of lo hemin v'lo ola. Each one of us in our own lives experiences lo hemin v'lo ola. How many opportunities do we have for his alus, for climbing up, for reaching the higher level? And yet, what do we do? How do we respond to these opportunities? Im ata ola ein lecha yirido olamis. Ata altira, HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls out to us. Take advantage. I'm placing in front of you encounters and opportunities to climb, to ascend. Mi yale b'har Hashem. But our response is lo hemin v'lo ola. Even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, altira, climb up. It may look a little scary, but you can do it. And therefore, my da'ava hava, whatever has happened in the past has happened in the past, but from now on, from this moment and on, let us try to take advantage and exploit these opportunities. Because we must know that time moves very fast. And windows of opportunity are, if they're not taken advantage of, they close in front of us. If we don't use these opportunities, these windows are closed. And sometimes for all eternity. The Gemara tells us in Bava Kama Daf Pei, a door, once it's locked, it's not easy to open it again. Once it's plastered, once it's closed, these are the windows that we have to find, we have to see, we have to observe. We have to be maharir in them. We have to see them. And as we said before, it's got to be a response of hafachnu panenu vibatnu. We turn around and we see and we grab on to these opportunities. In the Sefer Vigadita of Rav Yankel Galinsky, quotes the Medrash in Koheles Rabbah on the pasuk lechol zman v'eis lechol chefetz. Zman hoyo li odom arishon sheikonis legan Eden. Shenemar vayanicheu began Eden. It means that Adam HaRishon was created outside of Gan Eden, but he had the opportunity of going into Gan Eden. Uzman hayelo sheyotza misham. But yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent him out of Gan Eden, shenemar vayigoresh es Adam. And the Medrash continues, Zman hayelo lenoach, sheikonis leteva, shenemar bo el ateva. Uzman hayelo lotzei, shenemar tzeimen ateva. Zman hoye shetinosein Torah liYisrael. The pasuk in Koheles lekol zman v'yeis lekol chefetz intimates that in the future there will be opportunities. Kol zman, everyone has their time, their moment. Adam HaRishon has had his moment of entering into Gan Eden, the moment of glory of his life. Noach, the epitome, the apex of his career, was a zman that was given to him to go into the teva. But yet, in all these cases, we find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, yes, you had that time, you had that opportunity, tzeimen ateva, but now it's time to go out. And yet, there's a time for the Torah to be given to Yisrael. The Chizkuni, in his commentary on Bereishis, Perek Beis, Pasuk Ches, writes, Ilu Nivra b'Gan Eden, had Adam HaRishon been created in Gan Eden, Yesovur Shekola Olam Kach, he would have thought the entire universe is just like this Gan Eden. Aval bro b'chutz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu set Adam HaRishon outside of Gan Eden, so that Adam HaRishon would realize ra sha'ola molei kotzim of arkanim. Adam HaRishon observes that the world is full of thorns and thistles, but v'achakach iknisa l'Gan Eden makom muvchar. But then HaKadosh Baruch Hu invites Adam HaRishon to enter into Gan Eden, that choice of places. And how does he take him inside? Vayikach Hashem Elokim es HaAdam. Rashi quotes Chazal, Lekocho bidvarim upito likones. Hashem made it attractive for him. He appeased him. He almost seduced him to go into Gan Eden. And the Shalom HaKadosh says, HaYikosh li kamashonim, I was wondering for many years, Halo kol magamosenu, who love Gan Eden, everything that we desire, we crave for, and we long for is to enter into Gan Eden. Ashrei Azocha. And Adam HaRishon doesn't want to go in, at Shepito HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Could you imagine if Adam HaRishon would have continued in his refusal to enter into Gan Eden? The Shah would have been a Shah of Veres. The gates of Gan Eden would have been locked in front of him. And even if he would have wanted to go in, he couldn't go in. He would have been Mechametz Tzashah. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mefata him to go into Gan Eden. Otherwise, he never would have entered into Gan Eden. And then there was his man when he left Gan Eden. He sinned. And the Kruvim, Chamushim, Belat, Acherav, Misapeches, Chomsim, Mischazorah, they didn't let him go back into Gan Eden. If he would have had a little time to remain in Gan Eden, just an hour perhaps, then Bazdina Batal Dina, then the Gemara says that the din, the judgment against him, would have been Batal. And today, we would all be in Gan Eden. But the answer is, he couldn't remain because HaKadosh Baruch Hu threw him out. He was exiled from Gan Eden. He lost his opportunity to remain in Gan Eden. And Noach was invited into the Teva. And if he would have slowed down, if he would have postponed his entry into the Teva, he would have been washed away by the Mabul. These moments are so precious. They're so critical. And Zman Hoyolo Lotzes. Had he waited in the Teva a little bit too long, then Anu Banenu Venevenenu, we and our children would be locked up in the Teva to this day. And there was a tremendous miracle in the Teva. Chazal say, and the Ramban embellishes in his commentary on the Torah in Bereishis Vav, Muat HaMachzikas HaMaruba, Al Piderech HaTeva was impossible for all that entered into the Teva, all the Balichayim of the world, and all that food, for an entire year to enter into one Teva. Even 10 Tevas at that size would not be enough. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu invited him in. There was a tremendous miracle. But he had to go out of the Teva, and he had to go out immediately. And then Zman Hoya Shetinasein Torah LiYisrael. Listen to what's going on here. The Pasuk says, Yom HaShishi, V'achu HaShemayim V'aretz Kol Tzva'am. Hey, HaShishi. At the end of Bereishis, to tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a T'nai, as Rashi says, but with Maisa Bereishis, that ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to bring the Torah, I'm going to present the Torah to Klal Yisrael. And the T'nai was, Al Menashi Kavlu Aleim Yisrael Chavishukum Shei Torah. Klal Yisrael and the entire universe are all waiting for that moment. Everything is in the balance. We're all, in a sense, the whole universe is suspended until in thin air, until that 6th of Sivan, which is the day that's designated for Matan Torah. But in Lav, if Klal Yisrael refused to accept the Torah, Yahafchem L'Tov V'Avo, the entire universe will revert back to null and void. And therefore, the Pasuk in Tilim, Eretz Yara Vishkata, the land saw, was afraid of Kabbalah Satorah. Would they accept the Torah? Would they not? But Misha Kiblua, when the land saw that that Klal Yisrael accepted the Torah Shakata, then they were calmed down. The land understood that it could exist. This is a message for all of us. Each one of us has a moment, and we cannot postpone that moment. Each one of us is presented with the opportunity to accept the Torah. And if the time passes and we don't grab onto this opportunity, then Chalila, perhaps it won't be given to us again. And without the Torah alone, is Kaibu Shamayim Varetz. And Rabbi Yerucham from the Mir, the great Mashkiach, would say that this is what the Mishnah means in Pirkei Avos, Perek Beis, Hayom Katzer V'Hamalacha Meruba Apolim Atzelim V'Aschar Harbei U'Balabayis Dochek. What does it mean, Balabayis Dochek? There are windows of opportunity that are opened and closed. Says Rabbi Yerucham, take advantage. Don't postpone. There's an urgency here. There's an immediacy. Ma'aru L'Natzlam, take advantage. And this is what it means, Hamalacha Meruba. And yet, Hayom Katzar, the day is short. Chazal say that if need be, in our battle against the Yetzer Hara, is Mazkir Lo Yom HaMisa. And the Mepharshim explain, why do we want this depressing thought about Yom HaMisa? The answer is because realize that life is short. We never know when is our last day. Take advantage. And this is the principle of Aseh Atah, Ad Shata Motzei U'Motzei L'Chavodcha B'Yodcha. Everything in the world, Chazal say, is an opportunity to serve Hashem. Take, for example, the train. When the train was invented, how much work went into its invention to create a train, to create mesilos, you know, the tracks. And now man can enter into these fast trains, and in just a few short hours, he reaches far distant places. And this is really a message to all of us. You want to reach a far place. You have a desire to achieve something. Destiny leads you to a certain location, a certain goal. You have a vision and a mission. But just like in the case of the train leaves exactly on the moment. There's no delay. The schedule is meticulous. If you get there too late, you don't get onto the train. It's not there anymore. Who knows how long you're going to have to wait for the next opportunity. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to Moshe Rabbeinu for the first time at the Sneh, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu kol ma shehoyeh mevakesh hayeh nimsar lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to request something. Vayaster Moshe panov ki yorei mehabit el Elokim. Is the Gemara tells us in Masechta Brachos that Moshe Rabbeinu lost that opportunity. He was afraid to look at Elokim, Ofra Hashah. And later on, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears the bakash of Moshe Rabbeinu, the great petition of Moshe, Reini Nos Kvodecha and Shmos Lamed Gimel, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, Kisharatzisi, when I wanted to reveal myself to you, Loratzi, so you didn't want. And this is what we call Hachmotzas Hashah, to ferment the hour, to miss the opportunity. The stipler, Zichrono Livracha, was studying in Yeshiva in Bialystok. And when he was yet a bacher, he was unmarried, he was a young man, he wrote a book called Shari Tvuna, his first sefer. And the Chazon Ish got a hold of the sefer, and he was amazed by it. And he started clarifying and checking into the author. And he found that he's still unmarried, he's one of the Talmidim in Bialystok. And he sent a message to present the opportunity to his sister, that maybe the shidduch would be made and the stipler would marry the sister of the Chazon Ish. And a time was set in a certain achsanya near Vilna, in a certain inn where they would go, where near the city of Vilna, where the two would meet. And the stipler had a minog. It's mind-boggling. He used to learn 36 hours consecutively, yom v'layla. And then he would sleep a night and again learn 36 hours. But now he knew he had to get onto a train in the afternoon and go all the way to Vilna from Bialystok. He decided to learn Yom V'Layla V'Yom. In other words, he added an extra night so that by the time in the afternoon he would have to go on the train, and he had learned consecutively for 55 hours, he would sleep on the train. And that's exactly what he did. Yom, Laila, Yom, Laila. He gets on the train. And what does he find? He finds that there is a ripud on the safsolim. And he was afraid that maybe by sitting on the safsol he would violate the Isur Shatnas. So he stood the entire way. He comes to the achsanya, and he finds that this young girl and her brother, who was the Gaon Rav Meir Karelitz, who was sent on this mission to accompany his sister, had not yet reached Vilna. And his eyes were closing on him. By now it was 60 hours that he was awake consecutively. And therefore he went into a corner, he read Hamapil, recited the bracha, and before he got to fall asleep, they notified him that his company had arrived. He indicated with his hand that he couldn't speak. He needed a little time to rest. And hopefully he would be successful when he woke up. He slept for a few short moments, washed his hands, and joined the gathering. He was hard of hearing because at birth he had suffered from a disease, and he tried very hard to listen. But before long, the tiredness overcame him, and he fell asleep. And should we be surprised that this young girl refused to meet him again to continue? A young man who can't hear, who falls asleep right in front of her face, the Chazon Ish heard about this, and he decided to take action. He investigated the stipler and asked him what happened. Why did he fall asleep? And when he got the answer, his evaluation of the stipler only got higher and higher. And he told his sister, he doesn't hear, but everyone will hear him and everyone will listen to him. And she agreed. and she was kona her world, this world and the next. The stipler, whose son is Rav Chaim Kanevsky Shlita, son-in-law is Rav Shaul Barzom Zatzal, Rav Shlomo Berman Zatzal, Einakluch, Ir Einakluch, Gdolei Torah, she saw her world even during her lifetime. She took advantage of the opportunity. But in contrast, the story is told about a rich man in Europe who had a daughter to marry off, and he looked for a shidduch. He wanted to get the choicest member of the yeshiva body. And he turns to the father of the Saraf Mibris, the Gaon Reb Binyamin Diskin from Volkovitsk, and he asked him to suggest the best student in the yeshiva for his daughter. And the choice was made, Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan Spector, who later on would be the Rav of Kovna and the final authority in Halacha for that generation, the Posek Ador. However, the father-in-law, the future father-in-law, was not going to rely just on a recommendation of this young man. So he sends two Talmidei Chachamim, outstanding scholars, to check out Rav Yitzchak Elchanan. And these two scholars began to engage in a very, shall we say, a very lively Torah discussion with Rav Yitzchak Elchanan. Rav Yitzchak Elchanan was completely swept away by the controversy, the dialectic. And he defended his view and his presentation. He rejected and attacked all their counterattacks and arguments. And without even thinking, he tasted from a little bit of food that was on the table. And as he's going on, with every little taste that he put in his mouth, he would be energized to bring more proofs and more proofs to support his position, take another little spoonful of food, and a little bit more and more. The daughter, right, the girl who was presented for the shidduch, and her mother were standing at the opening of the door. They're listening to the voices. They don't understand a word of what's going on, but they were completely shocked to see that this young man is devouring whatever's in the plate. And they decided, this is not for me. She said, this is not for me. She gave up such an opportunity, such a world. She could have been the Rebbetzin of the Rav of Kovna. She could have been the Rebbetzin of the Posek Hador. And as years passed by, unfortunately, her father lost all his money. And her husband, someone that we don't even know who he is, even he went down and down. And there was no money in the family. And she comes in front of Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan to ask for some sort of financial support. She didn't recognize him, but he recognized her. Ah, how she had closed a window of opportunity that was presented to her. And not only that, Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan, when he learned in the yeshiva, he was supported, he was fed on a daily basis by one rich man. And this usher had a son-in-law who was involved in his father-in-law's business, and his son-in-law also ate at the same table. And when he got to know Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan, he was nispoil, he was amazed at the wisdom and the sharp mind of Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan. How he would grasp things so quickly, how he had an amazing memory. And he turns to Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan at the table and he says to him, why should you eat lechem of chesed, you know, bread that's being given to you gratis? Continue to learn. Just dedicate 2 hours a day to work with us as our accountant. and will provide you with a very sizable salary. And Rav Yitzchak Hanna realized that the house of this wealthy person has become a place of testing, of seduction, of allurement, that maybe he would have to leave his Torah studies. And so he decided to stop coming to this asher. And he ate very little bread. He was given some morsels of food at other families who were very poor. And he suffered tremendously. But within that suffering, he pushed himself to learn and to study. And he climbed the ladder. He got to the level of Rabban Shel Kol Yisrael. And one time, he went to Vilna on behalf of the Klal. The Jews of the city went out to receive him in their multitudes. And they came to his achsanya. Everyone wanted to get a little view of him, to get a little sight of him, to see his beautiful face, and perhaps to get a bracha from him. And amongst those who came was a very old man, who said to him, since Hashem had blessed him with Osher, and his children, his offspring, were rich in and of themselves, and now he's an old man, and he wants to prepare himself for the transition to the next world, and he knows that when he goes into the next world, his silver and his gold and his precious stones will not accompany him, as the Mishnah says in Avos. He came to Rav Yitzchak Hanna with the following proposition. He's willing to give half of his possessions, an amazing amount of money, to the Rav, ulekabel schus chatzi torosa shel Rav, and he's asking to buy the merits of half of the Torah of Rav Yitzchak Hanna. And the rabbi responded to him, Echartes Amot, you missed the boat. Because the Torah says, and it's Allah that's paskin in Shulchan Aruch based on a Gemara in Sota, that if a person is im odem atzia lalo mitmicha shetav shalimil cholikim abeschoro keheskem yisach lezvulim b'shaito, he says that if a person suggests, he presents the possibility to be tomech someone, to make it possible for that person to learn, then they can set up a heskem and split the schar of the Torah of Yisach Zvulun. And b'shaito, when back in the day I was being supported by you, and you could have been zocha to half of my Torah, but then you presented me with these allurements, with these nisyonos, with these tests. You knew that your son-in-law was trying to get me to work for you. It's a little bit too late now, I'm sorry. I've already learned the Torah, and Hashem found ways of giving me the strength to learn Torah. It wasn't you who facilitated my Torah study, made it possible. And the pasuk says, Im yitein ish es kolhon beso bi'ava bozia vuzulo. And the Beis Yosef, quoting Rabbi Yerucham, says, Im machar chelko ibdo vakona lohisig dovar. If I were to sell you my chelek, I would lose it, and you wouldn't gain anything. But Rabosei, just think for a moment. What a window of opportunity did that rich person have to host and support this young man, Yitzchak Elchanan, who would be in the future Rabban Shel Kol Yisrael? This is the Sula Mutzav Arts of Herosh HaMagiyah Shamayma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yaakov, climb the ladder. You can reach the heights. And this rich man literally threw it out of his hands. He chucked it. Lost that opportunity. Rav Yitzchak Elchanan, on the other hand, he was climbing the ladder, and there was an attempt to seduce him to go down from the ladder. To slow him down. Why are you so dedicated to Torah study? Give us a couple hours a day in the business. But no, Rav Yitzchak Elchanan knew that he had the opportunity to reach Merome Roman, to the highest level. Rav Aaron Kotler Zatzal used to say that there were three of us together in the yeshiva in Slabodka, me, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, and someone else. He mentioned that one person's name and nobody knew it. Where is that other person, the third one? He says he went into business. And we went up the sulam, we went up the ladder. We took advantage of the opportunity. Yaakov Avinu receives the great brachos in that vision of the ladder. Yerusha Sa'aretz, Nachla Bali Mitzorim, Ribui Bonim. He will be protected above. All these blessings are bestowed upon Yaakov. Yitzkak Yaakov Mishnoso. Yaakov wakes up. Vayomer, and he declares, Achein Yesh Hashem v'mokum hazeh v'anoch lo yodati. Rashi says, Ilu yodati lo yashanti v'mokum kodesh hazeh. And the question is obvious. If he would have known how holy this place is, that it's the Shara Shamayim, and he wouldn't have gone to sleep then, isn't it so that he would have given up? He would have lost all these great divine promises? I'll give you a mashal. There's a Talmud Chacham who's learning day and night. He doesn't have really food to put on his table. His house is a house of poverty. And his heart is really ripping apart. He doesn't know what to do. He signed a ksuba and he obligated himself to support his family. And now he's in a state of poverty. And Chazal tells us that a person who's in anius is mavirin anius maviras other midaito. But on the other hand, he has a cheshek to continue learning Torah. This is the love of his life. This is the light of his eyes. He saw himself as someone who would dedicate himself and his life to Torah. So what should he do? Well, the Gemara tells us in Beitza Mezonosu Shaladim Ktsuvim Mirosh Hashanah. If there's a gzera, then Tshuva Tfilu Tztaka Yavirua. In every tefillah of Rosh Hashanah, he cries and he begs Hashem. He calls out to Hashem during Aser Yisrael Tshuva. He's broken up. He's full of prayers. And he gets to the high point on Yom Kippur. And he doesn't let any sleep come to his eyes. He cries and he cries. And out of this tsar and yogon, when he reaches the apex of Yom Kippur, he falls asleep during Tfilas Ne'ilah. And while his eyes are closed, he sees a clear vision, 6 digits. And these are the digits that will come up in the lottery. When he wakes up, he realizes that this vision was too concrete, you know, it was tangible. And he couldn't get the 6 digits out of his eyes. And as soon as Yom Kippur was over, he declares, and he thinks it's a baskel from Shemayim, that he's got to go and buy a lottery ticket. And that's what he does. On the very next morning after Yom Kippur, he fills out the form, he writes down the 6 letters, the 6 digits, and sure enough, on Erev Chag HaSukkos, his dream comes to reality. All 6 numbers came up, and he was Zocha, he won the lottery, millions. And now, he can dedicate himself to Limud Torah. Mitoch Archov Varvocha. He has bread to eat, he has clothes to wear. Ah, that Sukkot was really Zman Simchaseinu. I ask you the following question. Would such a person, with that experience, would he have any charoda, any fear, any zazua, in the fact that at the moment of Ne'ilah, which is the high point of Yom Kippur, he fell asleep and he had a dream? Would he wake up and say, Ilu yadati lo yashanti, as Yaakov Avinu said? Would he declare that had I known that in this dream I would sleep during Ne'ilah, which I'm not really supposed to be doing, I would not have gone to sleep? No doubt about it. He, with great joy, he would say, well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu up in the heavens brought this tardema upon me in order to notify me that in the future I would have a great mazel and my situation would improve. And here, look at Yaakov Avinu. He has tsar. He violated the mitzvah of Moreh Migdash. He slept in the Shara Shamayim. And even though the Migdash wasn't even built yet, but Chazal in the Gemara in Yevamah says, Loman HaMigdash HaTayore Elamisha Hizir Al HaMigdash. He would have fear of not of the Migdash itself, but of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who commanded Migdashi Tiro Ani Hashem. And since, as Yaakov declares, Yesh Hashem B'makom Hazeh Im Yadati Lo Yashanti. And what about all the prophecies? What about all the divine promises? How could he have given up on that? Because had he known, he wouldn't have slept. He wouldn't have had the vision. He wouldn't have received all the great blessings that were bestowed upon him. But the answer is, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give us, then he'll give it to us beheter and not beisur. The means don't, the end doesn't justify the means. And we find this with regard to Tamar. Tamar sees in Ruach HaKodesh that from her and Yehuda would come out the Shalsheles of Beis David, Melech HaMashiach, and Chazal say in the Medrash, Hoysa v'tapachas al kreis of Omeres, Melochim ani, animu beres. She would pat herself down on her pregnant belly and say, I am pregnant with kings, Golim animo beres, with those who would redeem the people. And then there was a decree, Hotzi'ua v'tisarif, and she would be burnt at the stake. Lo hilbino pnei Yehuda. She waited until Yehuda would confess his crime. And Chazal derived from this in the Gemara Ksuvus Noch Lo liyodam sheyimser atzmo tokiv shenayish v'al yabin pnei chavera. Okay, halbonis panim is a serious violation. But what about all the malachim, all the kings, and all the golem, and all the redeemers that were meant to be born? And the answer is that geula, that's in God's turf. You know, we have the responsibility and the obligation of not to embarrass, not to humiliate. When God decides and how he'll bring about the geula, that's God's problem. And Moshe Rabbeinu was sent to be the goal Yisrael, and Chazal tell us in the Medrashim, Ein ata golem, Ein acher golem, but yet Moshe Rabbeinu says, Shlach Novi Atishlach, send Aaron. He was the Novi in Mitzrayim. And if Moshe Rabbeinu would accept the Shlichus, then there would be geula. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to tell Moshe Rabbeinu v'racha v'samach b'libo, that don't worry, Aaron won't be insulted, he'll be happy for you. And then even after that, Moshe Rabbeinu goes back to Midian to request permission from his father-in-law Yisro, because that's what he had promised Yisro. And what if Yisro would have said, no, I don't let you go? Then there wouldn't have been Geulas Yisrael. But the answer is that Geulas Yisrael is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's business. Our responsibility is to act according to the halacha. And if the halacha says that there's a prohibition against Hasagas Gvul, and we can't undermine someone else who has rights, then Moshe Rabbeinu made a promise, a commitment, a shvuah to his father-in-law, he wouldn't go without permission. And that's exactly what he's doing. And Moshe Rabbeinu is not going to insult his older brother Aaron, and he's not going to accept the shlichus until HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises him v'racha v'samach b'libo. There's a famous story about the Brisker Rav. And somebody came to the Brisker Rav and he wanted to speak, shall we say, words of sanigoria, of defense for the masses of people who came to Eretz Yisrael and unfortunately they were sent to kibbutzim and their payas were cut off. It's a terrible parsha then at that time. And one individual came forward to the Rav Mibrisk during that terrible episode with the Jews from Teman, and he said to the Rav Mibrisk, okay, everything's worth it. Why? Because it's a schalta de geula. We're bringing about the geula. So for the sake of the geula, kilu, we're going to bring about a situation where hamonim, who knows how many tens of thousands of Jews who came to Eretz Yisrael, were brought to a state of mesis umetiach, where they had to leave the fold. And the brisker Rav put his eyes, you know, he looked at this man. I wouldn't have wanted to be in that situation, to get that stern look from the brisker Rav. And he says, nothing is kedai for the eschalta de geula itself, not even for the full geula, to make these Jews irreligious. Nothing can justify that. The ends don't justify the means. And he quoted a Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Tzadiches. The Gemara tells us that Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi had an encounter with Eliyahu HaNavi, which was a regular occurrence in his life. And he asked Eliyahu, when is Mashiach going to come? So Eliyahu pointed out a person and he says to him, go ask him. Where will I find him? He's sitting there at the Pesach Ha'ir. He's amongst the Aniyim and the sick people, trying to help them out. How will I recognize him? So Eliyahu HaNavi says the following. You know how I'll give you a simon. Kulam matirim es kolach avishos bevasachas, verochtim es nigehem umechabsim es atachboshos, vechozun melafim osam ve'ilu hu matir tichboshes achas, mechatis at Pesach Chovsho, over lepetzah bo, betalich aroch umyusar. Umadua osekaki ula yikar bepesa pisam legal socius akev kidek shiras shneina goim. And Eliyahu tells Rabbi Yeshua how to recognize Mashiach. All the other people will take their various injuries and they will put the bandages on, clean it off, put the bandages on immediately, whereas the individual that you'll recognize as Mashiach goes one tachboshes at a time. He takes each petza, and when he finishes, he goes over. He has a little space of time in between. And why does he do that? Because in case he'll be called immediately to be Goel, to redeem the Jewish people, he doesn't want to have to slow down the process in order to take care of two different petza, two different Goyim. And the Pella asked the Brisker Rav is that Klal Yisrael is waiting for the Geula. We're waiting already millennium. Can't we wait another 10 minutes until the Mashiach will be Chovesh Kol Negov? You know, he'll, again, the symbolism of this Gemara has to be understood. But in any event, it's just a few minutes. What difference it make? Can't we wait a little bit? The pasuk in Yeshayahu HaNavi says, "Ish mach ovos v'yadua choli, achen chol yenu hu nasa machovenu svalim, v'hu meduka me'avonosenu, u'bechavurasa nirpolonu, v'ashem evgia bo es havon kulonu." Can't we wait a little bit? But the answer is that there's a certain specific moment of time which is mesugal, which is designated for geula, for the redemption. And there are certain moments when Klal Yisrael have rights, have merits for the Geula. And if that Shas HaKosher, that one opportune moment will pass by, then it will be too late. There will no longer be that you know, the positive balance, you know, in the scales that would justify the Geula. The Geula would be delayed, and once it's delayed, we don't know for how long. The Mashiach doesn't want to postpone the Geula even for one moment, one short, fleeting moment. Lo lahachmitz es hashoah, not to lose that opportunity. And that's what we have to understand. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a cheshbon, and it's well calculated, meticulous, exactly when the Geula should happen. That's God's business. That's His world. The Gemara says in Erevin on Daf Mem Gimel, if a person declares Hareini Nazir B'Yom Sheben David Ba, he's allowed to drink wine on Shabbos and Yontif. He's not allowed to drink wine during the week. Maybe Moshiach will come. And then on that day, the Neder of Nazirus was Chal for the entire day, L'mafreya. Why is he allowed to drink wine on Shabbos? Because the Mashiach Yavo Mimerchok V'yesh Isur Tchumin. Mashiach has to come from very far away, and he's not allowed to come and violate Tchumin, which is more than 2,000 Amma, and therefore you know that he won't come on Shabbos. Now, the Isur Tchumin, according to our Psak, I mean, it's not Rabbi Kiva Shita, is only Minarabban. So on Shabbos morning, the moment for Geula arrives. everything in the balance here is positive, and now he has the green light to come and be Gol Yisrael. Get up, Mashiach. Reveal yourself. No, he can't do so. Why? Because there's an Iser Tchum. Whether it's the Raisa, the Rabbanon, but whatever it is, by delaying it, we don't know how many other Jews will be Mechal Shabbos, either Veshogeh, Vemezid. The moment of Geula will be lost. But the answer is, the Geula belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's his inyan, that's God's responsibility. We have to observe the Shabbos in all its dikduk, in all its mitzvahs. And in order to observe one Easter, in this case, a Deesa Drabbanon, the Geula will be delayed. Mashiach will not come Michutz L'Tchum. And that's when the Brisker Rav turned to him and he says, look how many Isuri Torah will be violated when these Jews, you know, will be removed from their religious tradition. And why? Because of Eschalta de Geula? That doesn't justify Eschalta de Geula, bringing about the Geula doesn't justify any violation, not even Isur Rabbanon, not even Mashiach himself. How much more so these tens of thousands of Jews who B'tmimus came to Eretz Yisrael and they were very profoundly religious. There's no license here for the sake of bringing about the Geula, to bring about a violation of the Torah. And there are two psukim that we should look at in Megillas Esther, Lo Yigida Esther, Amav Es Molarito, Ki Mordechai Tziva Ole Asher Lo Sagid. Rashi explains that if she would reveal her origins, Yomru Shimi Mishpacha B'zuya V'shalcheno, they'll send her away. Shim Yehidu Shimi Mishpacha Shol HaMelech Hoyimach Zikimbo. And the next pasuk says, V'chol Yom V'yom Mordechai Mishalich Lifnei Chatzar Beis Hanoshen L'das Shalom Esther Umay Yosef Bo. Rashi says, Lo Eira L'tzadekes Zu Sheti Lochik L'Beis HaMelech El Shasido Lokum Lo Shia L'Yisrael L'ficha Choyimachazu L'das Mayeh B'sofa. Rashi explains, let me just summarize this, that the reason why Mordechai commands Esther not to reveal her lineage, her moledes, her yichus, ki Mordechai tziva leh shalot tagid, Rashi says because Mordechai's cheshbon, he was hoping, he was assuming that they would say about her that the reason why she conceals her origin is because she must come from a very low, you know, Mishpacha B'zuya, and they'll send her away. In other words, Mordechai wanted to do everything in his power to guarantee that she would not be taken to the Beis HaMelech. If she would reveal that she actually came from the Mishpacha of Shaul HaMelech, her lineage, she was a descendant of kingship, then they would hold on to her. Now, even though, again, Rashi says that Mordechai understood that she was being taken to the Beis HaMelech because she would become, down the line, the Moshiach Shel Yisrael, and therefore he wanted to know what was happening with her. So I don't get it. If he knew that she was put in that place to become the Moshiach Shel Yisrael, then he should have told her, Adarabba, why don't you reveal that you come from kingship, your lineage is kingship? And the answer is because Esther, even if in the future, down the line, she will save Klal Yisrael because of her status in the Beis HaMelech, even so, that belongs to the Cheshbonos of Shamayim. Our obligation is to operate and behave according to the strictures of Halacha. And in Halacha, when a Jewish girl is being taken to a non-Jewish king for a marriage partner, we are required to do everything that we can in order to prevent this from happening. what God's cheshbon is something else. We have to observe the halacha. We have no right to play with the halacha and bend the rules because of some greater purpose and some greater goal. God will bring about the gula. He'll figure it out. We have to observe the halacha. So let's just summarize some of the things we learned today from Parshas Vayetze. Number one, that we have to take advantage of every opportunity. We have to turn towards these opportunities. We have to realize that these windows close if we don't take advantage of them. We told a few stories about people who either did take advantage of the opportunity and look how they rose and they climbed up the ladder of the Sulam of Yaakov Avinu, others who did not and they went down. And we spoke about the fact that we have to be dedicated completely to, as Yaakov says, "im yadati lo yashanti," even though if he wouldn't have slept, he wouldn't have gotten all those brachos and all those avtachos. But nevertheless, he has to observe the halacha of Moreh Mikdash. We have to be totally dedicated in absolute fashion to observe the halacha. And we cannot make chishbonos of the geula and ischalta the geula. That belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we have time, not now, we want to take a look at the parasha of Vayidar Yaakov Neder Lemar Im Yeh Elokeinu Elokim Imadi Ushmarani Bederech Hazer Shanochi Olech V'nasan Li Lechem Lechol Ubeged Lilbosh V'shavti V'sholom El Beis Ovi V'yol Hashem Li Elokim. And the emphasis here is on the pasuk Im Yeh Elokim Imadi. And the Sfarno says that Yaakov Avinu was saying, "Im yelo kidei chayov lechem lechol ubeged lilbosh einu mevakesh mosoros." Yaakov is not asking for luxury items; he's just asking for the basic staples, the lechem and the beged. Yoshev b'sholom, that he should come back to Eretz Knan bebrius with health, health in guf and health in nefesh, and he accepts upon himself a commitment to Vahaya Hashem Li Elokim. And the word Elokim is the name of God of Midas Adin. Midas Adin, of course, is very harsh, and man has to be evaluated and judged by the Midas Adin. And Yaakov Avinu is hinting that with his dedication to Elokim, even if the demands of Midas Adin will be very strict and very harsh, nevertheless, his commitment is to successfully withstand all the critique of Midas Hadin. Yuchal lamod af betvias Midas Hadin haramuzo b'shem Elokim. And we're going to raise the question, what kind of barter deal is Yaakov proposing over here? Let's say he doesn't have lechem lechol and beged lilbosh chalila. Well, therefore, he's not mechuyav, he's not committed, he's not obligated to reach perfection, to be able to withstand any critique and any evaluation. I mean, we're talking about Yaakov Avinu b'chir ha'avos. And with regard to his children, who certainly didn't reach his madrega, they were omed b'nisyonos during the course of history, even without lechem lechol ubeged lilbosh. What was Yaakov entering into this maso matan here? Yeah, Hashem, you give me this, you provide, and then I will stand up to my obligations. What kind of tnai is he making with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What is the deeper meaning of lechem lechol and beged lilbosh?